You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our weekly look at the Detroit Tigers. I'm joined, as I am each week, by Jason Beck. And back on Sunday, actually Saturday and Sunday, Justin Upton had two nice days at the plate following 3 days off, and had the six RBI game on Sunday with the 2 3-run home runs. Neither one of those were cheap shots either. Had a near home run on Saturday that, of course, was a victim of Comerica Park's dimensions, but still an impressive weekend all the way around.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to bounce back from a few days out of the lineup. It looks like, I think to me, one of the keys on Sunday was getting ahead in the count against Henry Owens and making him throw strikes. I feel like, watching him over the course of the summer, granted it's not more than really a snapshot of his career, but it seems like he fares a lot better, especially at least this year, when he's ahead in the count. And when he gets down to two strikes, it can be tough going for him, even though, granted, he came back from an 0-2 count to hit that ball to deep center field Saturday night. But he seems a little bit more confident. He seems like he's been making hard contact really for most of the year. It's been more of a matter of making consistent contact and really having a plate judgment and pitch recognition.
And beyond Upton's upturn there, more good news came on Sunday in the form of Cameron Maben coming back ahead of schedule. Of course, the Tigers have had this wave of injuries here lately, so this is their first good news in quite a while.
Yeah, that's the first sign, really, that I think that we've seen of the Tigers turning the corner on the injury front, even though Brad Ausmus said it was more like approaching the corner rather than turning it. But, Ausmus had given the impression that Maben could be back next weekend, and I think even he was surprised by how well Maben felt once he took batting practice. Granted, it wasn't traditional outdoor BP. He was sitting inside because of the weather Saturday night, but he felt good. Talking with Maben afterwards, he's not pain-free, but it's a matter of pain tolerance, and I think there's a little bit, too, of him deciding that given where the Tigers are right now and how important it is that they turn things around pretty quickly here to stay in the race, that he decided that he's got to put up with whatever pain he's got to deal with and get in line up and play and hit as well as he can hit. And he came up with two big insurance runs on Sunday.
Yeah, it looked good on both sides of the ball Sunday. What's the latest on Nick Castellanos' recovery from an injured hand? Do we have any more definitive timetable when to expect him to resume baseball stuff?
Nothing firm. Talking with Al Avila after the Eric Ibar trade, he did say one of the things that they were looking for was somebody with at least third base capabilities to fill in, and that given the nature of Castellanos' injury, they're thinking it's going to be more than a 4-week absence, hopefully less than 7. But right now, he's basically just doing enough that he should be good to go once he's cleared. Not good to go, but he should be in shape to pick up baseball activities pretty quickly once he gets the go-ahead with the hand to grip a bat and start doing some more baseball stuff.
Obviously, that's a major X factor for the Tigers in the home stretch. It's Castellanos' return, and back they scored 10 runs on Sunday. Prior to that, though, the Tigers had lost 10 of 13, and they were scoring just 2.5 runs per game in that 13-game span, 32 runs at all in those 13 games. So, maybe Sunday was the breakout they needed, the breakthrough they needed. Maybe they're in a feast or famine part of the schedule right now when it comes to their offense. And of course, being without one bat Castellanos, what do you make of the offense right now?
Well, I think part of Sunday had to do with the starting pitcher for Boston, too. I think Henry Owens was kind of thrust into a tough situation. This is a team that, despite some earlier struggles, can hit left-handers pretty well, especially if those pitchers have to come at Detroit's right-handed hitters with pitches to hit. I think it'll be a little bit more of a test this coming week, but there's some winnable games coming up all the same. There's a three-game series in Minnesota, and I think at least two of the three starting pitchers scheduled had ERAs over five, and I think the other one's got an ERA close to it. And then they've got the Angels coming in next weekend for three at Comerica Park. So, you know, this could be a little bit of a springboard for them, at least offensively, to perk up and maybe put some runs on the board.
Michael Fulmer got roughed up the other day, and, you know, that's kind of bound to happen. He's not going to be, as strong and efficient as he's been, for the better part of this season, every time out. But they're starting to play with his innings a little bit, like we talked about. Any more clarity there as far as how they will manipulate that?
Right now, I think what they're looking to do is maybe not so much skip Fulmer, but push him back whenever they have the chance. They've got a pretty good chance coming up here. You know, with the off day on Monday, and then they have another off day coming up in about a week and a half, they can get through almost a two-week stretch starting him like once or twice. And that might go a long way to kind of getting those innings under control and giving them a little bit more leeway to pitch relatively deep in the games. I was doing the calculations, at least the way the schedule is currently set up, barring like a rainout that forces a makeup day on what's currently an off day. If they push him back at every off day that they can, they can save about two starts from him compared to if he just pitched on turn the rest of the way through. And that might be enough to not only keep him going through the end of the regular season, but also potentially have him available for some postseason matchups.
I want to ask you, too, Beck, about James McCann. His offensive performance has improved a bit here this month. 726 OPS in August, which is significantly higher than a season OPS. I know he's had some ankle issues this year. That contributed to the offensive decline and just the decline in playing time to Gerald Sopelomachia. But is there a sense that McCann is in a better physical spot now?
Yeah, he seems to be moving around a little bit better. The wear and tear seems to be having less of an impact on him. And I think, quite frankly, that the mixing and matching with Sopelomachia is helping keep him fresh right now. He took on a very heavy workload over the course of the season last year. I think it did a ton for him from a learning standpoint, but I also think doing that type of game total in back-to-back seasons was going to take its toll on him. So from that standpoint, I think them finding Sopelomachia and finding his effective form, not just offensively, but also defensively and pitch calling, has really made a big difference for not only for the Tigers, but I think also for McCann.
All right, well, you kind of alluded to the upcoming schedule there, Beck. The Tigers have the Twins and Angels this week, who are the worst record in the American League. They actually play the Twins 10 more times in their final 38 games of the regular season. So, I mean, at least schedule-wise, they have to feel good about their chances of making some noise here down the stretch.
Yeah, they've got a nice week coming up to really, and I know it feels like every other week we're either talking about the Tigers surging or the Tigers falling back. This would seem like it's set up to be a week that the Tigers could surge again, but I guess we'll find out as we go along. But I think even with the injuries they're dealing with, they're in a pretty good position here, not just with who they're facing, but the pitchers they're going to be matched up against. Because they've got a chance to do some damage, and I think most importantly, regain some confidence going into some of the tougher matchups. I have a big trip to Kansas City coming up in about a week and a half that all of a sudden is looming large again, whereas I think before the Royals came in and took those games in Detroit, we were thinking of the Royals as being a team that's out of it. And now, after all these wins in a row, they're a team that's very much back into this wild card race series.
Yeah, and to your point about the erratic nature of the Tigers, Beck, I think if you only listen to every other one of these podcasts this season, you'd either think the Tigers are the best team in baseball or the worst, depending on when you happen to pick it up. So we'll see what the next week has in store for them and what the rest of the season has in store for them. We'll be checking in with Beck each week down the stretch. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.